Blog Talk Radio.
I wouldn't call myself a social butterfly, and there's not much that separates me from the other guy. But when I log in, I begin to there's an online world where I am king of a little website dedicated to me, with pictures of me and a list of my friends and an unofficial record of the groups that I'm in. Before the internet, friendship was so tough. You actually had to be in people's presence and stuff. Who would have thought that with a point and a click, I would know that Hope Floats is your favorite flick? Right on my wall. Take a look. Your look on Facebook.
Hey. It really helps you keep getting in trouble on MySpace. Look, stop doing what you shouldn't be doing. Just give your girl your password and tell her to go and do what you need. Y'all be getting in trouble on MySpace, leaving your code up on the memory. She keeps faking, she wanna meet up with you any day. While your girl is sitting waiting, she even got mad and made herself her own page. Hey, this a damn shame, now y'all can be getting into it over MySpace. So many people be arguing, so many people been getting kicked out over MySpace. But if you be gutted, if that's who you wanna be with, you ain't got no business on MySpace.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
What exactly is a social networking site? If you are currently an active user of such websites as Facebook, MySpace, Ning Groups, and even Twitter, you are a member of an online social community that allows you to befriend and interact with others, usually at no charge to you whatsoever. The benefit of such online communities is that you can reconnect with old classmates, former coworkers, and even ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriends if you so choose. Some of the advantages of being an active user on one or more of these sites have been identified, but what about the effect these social networking communities can have on your love life, your sex life, your overall social life? Tonight, I am asking my listeners this question. Have sites such as Facebook or MySpace caused your social life to become more enjoyable and exciting? Or has interacting with members of the opposite sex on these various sites caused you a high degree of unnecessary stress and drama? In the United Kingdom, one woman was actually murdered when her husband, to whom she was legally separated from, saw that she had changed her relationship status from married to single. This incident, among a few others I could discuss, highlight the fact that sometimes men and even a few women in relationships might take the exposure that a social networking site allows too seriously. Have you dated someone you first met on Facebook, MySpace, Twitter? Have you been stalked by an ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend you reconnected with on a high school or college alumni Ning group? Have you gone through a bitter breakup or nasty divorce where the details of the demise of your relationship were unfortunately revealed on one of these popular social networking sites? The call-in number this evening is 646-478-5710. If you have an interesting story to share with my listeners, please call in so I can give you the opportunity to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this me, Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I got to ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and bury someone in the race? You do?
I think they do. I think I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo. Mode 1. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1. Let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, April 15th, 2010, and this is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde weather in the Chicagoland region is back on the positive side. Today, temperatures were in the high 70s, and a brother like me loves that. Yes, indeed. Now, I'd be willing to bet money that 99.9% of my listeners have an account on either Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, one of the Ning Group sites, or all of the above. I know this for a fact. Don't ask me why. Because if you weren't on at least one of those sites, 9 times out of 10, you wouldn't even know about Blog Talk Radio. So that's why I'm willing to confidently estimate that no less than 99.9% of my listeners have an account on either Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, or Ning. I know, speaking for myself, all those mentioned, let me think about, I think the first one I discovered was MySpace. I got on MySpace back in mid to late 2004. Yeah, it was either late 2004, early 2005 when I got on MySpace. That was the first social networking site I got hip to. And then I was talking to some high school and college students that were interning for me at the time. This was back in summer 2006, and they were the first ones to tell me about Facebook. Because when I told them I was on MySpace, they was like, oh, Mr. Curry, nobody young is on MySpace. I said, really? They said, no, all like people high school, college age are on Facebook. So in a way, I didn't want to get on there because I thought it was going to be a bunch of young folk. And for a while, it was. I got on there around July of 2006. From July of 2006 to about spring 2008, hardly any of my friends were on Facebook. I had like about 25 to 30 friends on Facebook for my first year and a half, 2 years on Facebook. Then starting with about spring of 2008, I would say March, April of 2008, most of my friends agree, that's when Facebook began to just blow up. I mean, everybody, it seemed like everybody and their mama found out about Facebook around spring, summer of 2008. And all of a sudden, my number of friends just skyrocketed, mainly from readers of my book, listeners of my radio show. That accounted for a lot of my numbers as far as friend requests. And then others, like people I went to elementary school, middle school, high school, college, people I used to work with, people who I met in a gas station like 10 years ago, they sent me a free request like, hey, man, remember when I was at Leroy's Pump and Go and you had on a yellow shirt and we was talking about the Bulls game and I just recognized your face and I want to sign you up as a Facebook friend. And so, yeah, everybody just blew up. Now, of course, yours truly has about 5,003 friends, and I don't know if that's a good thing, having all the friends, because see, now I can't add anybody. Once you get 4,900 friends, they won't let you add anybody on Facebook. I don't like that. People can send me a friend request, but I can't send them. I can't join any new groups. Man, I don't like that. So the whole 5,000 friend thing is overrated. But the thing about it, these sites have really become a part of people's lives. I mean, like brushing your teeth, taking a shower, check your Facebook page. It's in that routine. I mean, there's very few people now, you know, who don't have either a Facebook account, a MySpace account, or a Twitter account. And, Twitter, I found that out. Now, Twitter, I didn't get. When I first found out about Twitter, I was like, I don't get it. Because to me, I felt like everything you could do on Twitter, you can do on Facebook. Because Twitter is nothing but a status report on Facebook. I mean, so Twitter, I do Twitter, but I don't do Twitter like Facebook. Facebook is definitely the most active social network site I'm on. And then one other one that's out there is Ning. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Ning, but Ning basically allows you to create your own social networking site. So if you were to start a Ning group, let's say you went to Notre Dame College. Notre Dame. I got to bring up Notre Dame because a young lady from Gary, Indiana, she was the valedictorian at Westside in Gary, Indiana. She's going to be the first black valedictorian in Notre Dame's history. Give it up. Katie Washington is her name. She's going to be the first black valedictorian ever at Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. But anyway, going back to Notre Dame, let's say you wanted to have a Notre Dame black alumni site. Ning allows you to create that type of site. So Ning is popular primarily among people who want to create either high school alumni sites and or college alumni sites, or even beyond high school and college, just groups, different groups. Like you might have a knitting group that you want to invite people to. And so, yeah, Ning is cool in that, like I said, you can attract your own members. You can limit it to only people you want on there and so on and so on. But, yeah, these social network sites have just exploded. I mean, it's been featured in a lot of movies. I've watched a lot of romantic comedies, romantic dramas where they'll have a scene where somebody's on their Facebook. Just recently, one of my friends, Metal Hayes, he sent me a clip from South Park, the popular cartoon on Comedy Central. It's a pretty funny thing they got about all the little kids getting their Facebook page and bragging on who got the most friends. And Oh, one of the funniest, I wish I had the audio to it. I don't have the audio. But you got to look this up on Google. It's a lighthearted parody of how Facebook affects relationships. And that's actually what I'm mainly talking about tonight. How Facebook affects your love life, your sex life, and your social life. And I wish I had the audio to this. I didn't get a chance to get it. But the video is even funny. You got to see the video. It's on YouTube. It got all these different couples. I want to say like three or four different couples. And they each show how Facebook, like, you know, on Facebook, you can poke people. And one guy comes home and he wants to kiss his wife. And she's like, oh, no, 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 me kissing me. You've been sitting around poking people all day. And then one of the other things in your relationship status, you can, one of the options is it's complicated. And then another guy comes home, his girlfriend or wife, and he wants to be romantic. She's like, oh, no, no, no. Oh, so we complicated now? Is that what's up? We complicated? She says, the only thing that's complicated is the fact that your mama still owed me
$20. you stupid.
I'm going to try to find the video to that, and if I do, I'm going to put the link in the chat room. And if somebody's in my chat room right now, please put the link. I think somebody put a link in here. Let me see if this is the link to wait, let me see. I'm looking at this link. Okay. Excuse me for a second. I'm looking. Somebody put the link in the chat room, and I'm trying to see if this is the one where that cracked me. Yeah, that's it. So it's in the chat room. If you're in the chat room, click on that link, and you will see that is funny. That's a funny video about the effect that Facebook has on dating and relationships. And again, that's what I'm inviting tonight. So if you want to call in and share your story, call in this number, 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. And I want you to discuss either one of two things, either how one of the social networking sites has enhanced your social life, love life, and even maybe your sex life, or how one or more of the social networking sites has made it worse, made your love life, sex life, or social life worse, or it could be a combination of the two. I know a lot of people who's kind of simultaneously done both. It's kind of enhanced certain aspects of their social life and love life, and at the same time, it's kind of worsened. You know what I think Facebook helps, though? And you know my book, Mode 1, talks about being upfront and straightforward. I think if you're a major player, like say you're a guy and you're just a line womanizer, you got like five different women thinking they're your girlfriend, but do you know they're really not, you having sex with all five of them, you're not going to go on Facebook. You know you're not. You know you're not going to go on Facebook because you're going to get exposed and you're going to get blasted. I've seen a few of those situations happen where somebody got blasted for trying to be an amateur player. You cannot be trying to lie to a bunch of women, stringing women along, and be on. That is one type of man that's not going to be on Facebook. And I would say the same thing with a woman. If you're a woman and you got three guys who they all think they're your boyfriend, but really you just playing them all, you're not going to be on Facebook. You're not going to be on MySpace. It's too public. So that's one, to me, one of the benefits of Facebook and MySpace in regards to dating relationships is that if you're just a lying, promiscuous person, you are not going to get on Facebook because you're going to get blessed. Now, that's not to say cheaters won't be on Facebook, because say you got a wife and you got a mistress who knows to keep her mouth shut, yeah, you might still be on Facebook because the woman knows to keep her mouth shut. That's a little different situation. Same with a woman playing a guy. You know, if you got, you know, that side piece who know to keep their mouth shut, I'm against all that. You know I'm against all that. I'm all about just upfront, straightforward, let the people know what you're really thinking. Other things in the news. Wait a minute. Let me get my I almost forgot to give my chat room the love that they deserve. My chat room. You know I love my chat room. You know I love my chat room. I love all my listeners, but particularly my chat room listeners. Let me give it up for 49ers Fan 09 in my chat room, Ballers Radio in my chat room, Adrian, I want the Cleveland Cavaliers to take the NBA title, a.k.a. Diva 362636. She's in my chat room. I got a number of guests that are in my chat room. I got my cousin from Detroit, my younger cousin from Detroit, Hype Style, is in my chat room. I got my other cousin from Chicago. I got two of my cousins in my chat room. My other cousin, J-Rock, J-P, Jason P., from Chicago is in my chat room. I got James 365 in my chat room. I got Jay California Cooper in my chat room. I got Nohad Metal Hayes. He's the best booking agent I could ever have for my show. Metal Hayes is in my chat room. I got not Dummy 2414, not Idiot 2414, not Ignorant 2414. No, I got Scholar 2414 is in my chat room. I got Self-guided, not other people guided, not my grandmother guided, but self-guided in my chat room. I got Starita 34 is in my chat room. I got Miss Egypt 99 in my chat room. That's right, and I'm sure some other people will be coming in my chat room. You know I love my chat room listeners. Now, other shout-outs. Here's a special shout-out, because that last song you heard going into the intro, that was my girlfriend, and that was one of her new songs. It's called Say It Again. Now, anybody who knows me knows where that influence came from, because most of my close friends, particularly my female friends, they always say, Alan, if you were to write an autobiography, some kind of memoir, it would have to be called Say It Again. And this song is just kicking. I love it. And other news on my girl. Now, see, this ties into my show tonight, because I'm not going to put all the details of my relationship out to public, but to a large extent, I already have. I made my – this is probably the first time in my life I made my relationship public, put it out there like in the public domain. And my girl and I, we met on Facebook. I was familiar with her, actually, before Facebook. But that's how we connected, was on Facebook, and it's been an interesting ride having that face in a relationship with Facebook. I mean, it's caused a lot of people to know about our relationship, you know. But anyway, I want to highlight the fact that she was interviewed on another show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. A guy named Daryl Arnaz, goes by D.A., and his buddy Wardell Potts Jr. They have a great show that comes on most of the time Friday. Sometimes it comes on different days. And they interview my baby. They interview her, and I thought she had an exceptional interview. I'm biased, but I thought the interview was just outstanding. And, you know, yours truly had to end up calling into the show and showing my girl some love. So here's about a minute and a half, 2 minute clip from her interview, mainly the part where I called into the show. And the underlay you're going to hear is one of her other new songs called Love Me. This was Tyler Collins on the DA show, the DA show, WDKK show.
We have a caller who's been holding for a couple minutes, so I just want to take the call and see who we have on the line. And we have
okay.
A caller. The area code is 219.
You have Alan Roger Curry on the line.
Hey, Tyler, do you know who that is?
He's got a hot throb going here. Speaking, baby. I'm like, what is this? Oh, my God. And
you had a boyfriend and some sad faces. Good job, my friend.
Yes, I am off the market. That is my man. I love him.
Well, congratulations. You won. You have an incredible, beautiful woman.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, I love interviews like this because your listeners are able to hear how intellectually thorough and profound this woman is. And
I was just going to say, and I asked you, you know, did you know? I kind of figured that was the case because he kind of had, like, hearts flashing in the chat room. And he's kind of like, and he's like, you know, I love that woman, Maddie. Great interview. You know, I knew it had to be somebody that was very, very close to you. And I want to say, Alan, thank you so much for your support. Because I know that, you know, oftentimes they say behind every successful man there's a woman. And I believe that. But I also believe that behind every successful woman there's a good man.
No doubt. I got to say, you know, I will definitely give him his props. Pretty much every song I've written to this point has been about him.
Wow.
And he's a remarkable man and has definitely helped me kind of come out of my shell and embrace all of myself. So, yeah, I appreciate you saying that because you're right. It's usually only said the other way around.
He's something else. He's a character. He is a character. Man, yeah, I can tell you do a dating and relationship show, though, man. You just...
I'm just glad to have her in my life. I love her madly. Love you, baby. All right.
I love you, too.
I saw somebody right in the chair room. Now, excuse me. Normally, my audio is better than that. That had a high-end audio, so you probably had to use your equalizer. But, my cousin said, dang, you got songs about you, cuz. That's right. That's what love do for you. See, did you hear that part where she said, he's a remarkable man. That just gives me goosebumps. But I'm going to bring her in the conversation in a little bit. Talk briefly, not in long length of detail, but we're going to talk briefly about how our relationship has been affected by Facebook. But anyway, I love her to death, Miss Tyler Collins. Other shout-outs would be my brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, at the ball in Maplewood, New Jersey, Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam III. I already gave shout out to my cousin JP Jones, Christopher Curry, No Head, Metal Haze. Other shout outs be Vanessa Turner, Edie Harris, Steve Dedean Williams, Will Wavy, Mel Hopkins, Kathy Holloway Hill, Chad Hunter. NBA playoffs. The Bulls. You know what the Bulls said? I'm going to tell you what the Bulls said. If you remember, the Bulls were almost on the verge of not making the playoffs. And then there's a rumor going around Chicago that they got together. They said, hey, man, we cannot disappoint Allen Roger Curry like this. Allen Roger Curry is a staunch fan. You know, he loves us. We love him. Fellas, let's do it for Allen Roger Curry. And then they just start chanting, you know, let's do it for Allen Roger Curry. So they made the playoffs, and let's hope they can upset the Cleveland Cavaliers so that Adrian in the chat room won't speak to me for like the next 5 years. Tiger Woods, this is rumor. It's not confirmed, but there's a rumor that Tiger Woods' wife has definitely decided to divorce him. Among other reasons, they said she's not going to divorce him because he cheated on her. But they say she's going to divorce him because she didn't like his Nike commercial. She said that was some bullshit. She said that commercial was just sorry. And she said she's going to divorce him just because of that sorry-ass commercial where he's just standing there not saying nothing. The big news in the literary world this week is that Kitty Kelly came out with a book about Oprah. Man, Kitty Kelly got some balls, man, because, you know, people are scared to talk about Oprah. And Kitty Kelly came out with a book, and most interesting revelation that's come out so far is that Oprah used to date John Tesh. Man, our lives are all better now for knowing that Oprah dated John Tesh. I mean, I couldn't sleep the other night because I was just so excited knowing that Oprah had dated John Tesh.
Alan, you're stupid.
I mean, you work on a book for years, and the most noteworthy revelation is that Oprah used to date John Tesh. John Tesh used to be on Entertainment Tonight, if you don't know who that is. He's a good guy. Anyway. Here's a news report that came out. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to raise your eyebrows. The more men and women engage in casual sex, the more STDs are passed around. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The more people engage in casual sex, the more. See, this is. Please. I mean, I love doing radio. I really do. I love bonding with my listeners. But this is really my dream job. You know what my dream job is? I want to have a job as a research scientist who researches subjects and issues, and then my concluding statement is something that makes people say, no shit. That's what I want. That's the job I want. Excuse me for cursing, folks. You know I try to keep this Disney Channel watching PG-13 show. But come on, man. When you love to have that job is when they say, hey, Alan, after your 3 years of research, what are your findings? My findings are if you eat chicken wings and drink peach schnapple, you will be a happy man. Yeah, that's what I want to do. That's the job I want. I want to wear a white coat and... You know, I want to have all these official-looking notes and stuff only to come out with a report that people say, damn, no shit. So watch out, people. If you engage in a lot of casual sex with different partners, there is a greater than 50% chance that you might just catch something. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to take a quick intermission break, but when I come back, I am going to interview a couple that I met on Facebook, and they have an interesting Facebook-related story. And also, like I said, I'm going to get my baby involved in the conversation for a little bit. So don't go anywhere. I will be right back after this brief intermission break.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to tonight's episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Tonight we're discussing the relationship, the connection between these rising social networking sites. I mean, they are just rising in popularity. First one, again, that I was familiar with was MySpace. Actually, there was one before that called Friendster. I didn't get on that, but I had a few of my friends talking about Friendster. That was a social networking site. Then MySpace came along. Like I said, I got on there in like late 2004, early 2005. Then around summer 2006, I got on Facebook. But Facebook didn't really blow up to me until about spring, summer 2008. Seemed like 95% of people I know who are now on Facebook didn't get on there until about 2008. Later Twitter came. I don't get it. No disrespect to the founders of creators of Twitter, but I mean, I don't get Twitter. And then again, there's these things called the Ning sites where you can kind of create your own group site, Ning. Like for example, I could create the Alan Roger Curry fan club on Ning and it would become its own social networking site. And, yeah, I wouldn't be that. I mean, you could do that on Facebook, though. You could have your own fan club and group page and stuff. So, you know, to me, you could do everything on Facebook. Anyway, that's what we're talking about. If you want to call in, 646-478-5710. When you call in, press 1, and that way I know you want to speak because a little hand in my phone queue raises up. And that's what we are discussing. Now, I read an interesting article earlier in the week. Guy named Samuel Axon, he's a blogger. I actually invited him on the show, but he was busy. Samuel Axon, he had this article called Five Ways Facebook Changed Dating, and in parentheses, for the worst. And I don't want to read every word of this article because it's just too long, but he essentially says that for every 2 to 3 ways that Facebook can enhance your dating life, there's probably another 3 to 4 ways it can make it worse. Here was his 5 main points where he says Facebook has the potential to make your dating life less enjoyable. Number 1, overanalyzing will drive you crazy. And what he means by that is that say you were in a relationship, particularly a new relationship, and you see that your new companion is either posting on your wall a lot or not posting on your wall enough, how will you perceive that? You know, what if, you know. He says if you're already feeling insecure, Facebook just exacerbates those insecurities. Number 2, you see all the action your ex is getting. I'm going to be real. It's hard to break up in any relationship. Any relationship is hard to go through a breakup, especially if you had a long-term relationship. But I would have to imagine that it is exceptionally hard if you were in a loving relationship with somebody and then you break up, or say you were married and you went through a divorce, and all of a sudden you see your ex-spouse or ex-companion with a whole bunch of new pictures being lovey-dovey with somebody else. Man, that's like somebody just taking a knife to your heart and just like just slicing it. Like that Asian dude used to be on that commercial where he just sliced and diced. I mean, woo! Man, I genuinely feel for those people. And I got some friends who've gone through that actually over the last 2 years where they were in a relationship with someone and they broke up, and now their ex-companion is in a new relationship, and they highlighting all the pictures and little love notes. Anyway, that was his second thing. He said that Facebook actually worsens your dating life. Third, and I can relate to this, your relationships and breakups are very public. Like I said, my relationship with my girlfriend, Tyler Collins, our relationship is very public. And I would say, on the record, she is more challenged by that than I am. I mean, neither one of us, I think, prior to this relationship, were very public with our relationships. I know I wasn't, and from what she told me, she wasn't. But definitely, her more so, because she's intensely, intensely private. So I will take the blame for making our relationship public, because I was just so excited to be in a relationship with her. I was the one who said, yeah, we got to change our relationship status. But yeah, it's like, again, I have 5,000 Facebook fans. They're not saying that each and every one of those 5,000 friends on Facebook pay attention to my relationship, but I would estimate that at least a third of my Facebook friends pay attention to my relationship based on the emails I get, comments I get. So, yes. Matter of fact, interesting note on that, on my relationship with my girlfriend. If you use Google a lot, Google has a way of suggesting keywords for you. For example, let's say you wanted to Google Michael Jordan. If you start typing Michael Jordan, Google will suggest Michael Jordan, North Carolina, or Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls, or Michael Jordan, Charlotte Bobcats. Whatever is the most frequently search variation of Michael Jordan, Google will kind of suggest that to you as you're typing. Same with Brad Pitt. If you put in Brad Pitt, it might suggest Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Brad Pitt, Ocean's 11. That's Google's way of saying these are very frequent searches. A lot of people have searched using these keywords. If you now put in Alan Roger Curry, the most number one Google suggestion used to be Alan Roger Curry Mode 1, and close second was Alan Roger Curry Blog Talk Radio because of my show. Now, the number one suggestion for Google is Alan Roger Curry Tyler Collins. Wow. That blew my mind. It blew her mind. Blew my mind. Yeah, if you put in Alan Roger Curry, the first suggestion it gives you is Tyler Collins. Alan Roger Curry, Tyler Collins. So what that means is that there's dozens of people putting in Alan Roger Curry. See, they trying to find out about my relationship, all nosy people. They trying to find out some scoop on my relationship. But that's what Facebook has done for my relationship. It's made it very public. Fourth, what Samuel Exxon said, he said, Facebook makes a record of every relationship mistake you've ever made. And that goes back to about breaking up, or not even breaking up, but let's say you're in the relationship, but you're going through some challenges, like you and your girl, you and your man not speaking for about 2 weeks. You're kind of having a spat. Inevitably, that's going to come out on Facebook. You might try to hide it, but if it's a long-running spat or some kind of challenge, that's why they have the option. It's complicated. Because once you have those type of challenges, you might as well go ahead and say it's complicated. Complicated means we might be on the verge of breaking up. Then finally, he said, other people's comments will make your date jealous. Now, I'm not generally a jealous type of guy. But I'll admit, my girlfriend probably admit that I've been on her page a handful of times. Like, yeah, why that dude say that? Yeah, what was he talking about? Sugarfoot and all that stuff. Why was he using terms like that? Nah, I'm exaggerating a wee bit. But, yeah, it's obvious that if you and your girlfriend or you and your spouse on Facebook and you see somebody else making flirtatious comments, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect you. Now, the really horrible side, the dark side of Facebook, and I'm not going to get into all the stories. You can Google it yourself. But a lot of people have actually been killed. On the positive end, it hasn't been in this country. The United States have only had maybe a couple. But I know in the United Kingdom and some other countries, people have been killed for their activities on Facebook, like a man killing his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend or wife or ex-wife. And it's probably, I found about at least 8 to 10 stories about people getting killed because of some jealous ex and changing their status on Facebook. Like the most, I think, reported story was this woman in London, I want to say. She got separated from her husband, and she changed her Facebook status from married to single, and her husband, or soon-to-be ex-husband, got so mad and so jealous that he killed her. That's jacked up. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm first going to bring in my baby for a few minutes. She just had her long interview on that other show, so I'm not going to talk to her too long. And then right after her, I'm going to bring on this delightful couple that has an interesting story to share with you. But first, let me bring on my attractive and talented girlfriend, Miss Tyler Collins. How you doing tonight, baby?
Hi, I'm good.
Now, it's funny, and listeners, I apologize. When I had that clip with her from another interview, man, it got so loud, it was distorted. But you notice the Madison, I'm going to kill you. Madison, if you're a Blog Talk Radio fan, you know, and you're into music, you know there's a guy named Madison Media Radio. He has, that's his show. And in the chat room, he likes to get under my skin. He just wrote in the chat room, Mr. Collins. See, that's wrong, man. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you, man. See, Tyler, that's wrong. See how they do me? Calling
that's
me Mr.
Wrong,
Collins.
Baby.
I ain't like Stedman and whoever else. What's the dude dating Mariah Carey? See, I forgot his name. That almost gives it more validity. Nick Cannon. See, Nick Cannon, he got his own identity. But anyway, baby, let me ask you.
Yes.
Did it make you, and this is kind of a rhetorical question, but did it make you feel at least a little bit awkward and uncomfortable to have our relationship be so public on Facebook?
Oh yeah. Very much so. I wasn't used to that. I am intensely private. But I understood, you know, as we went along that you are very much the opposite of me, and because that's what you do. You help people and you coach people in this area. So you're very forthcoming and you're very real and honest with what's going on with you, which I really respect that and I like that, because that kind of shows people that you're not ashamed or embarrassed about what you do or what you say or how you feel. And so, you know, over time, I got a little bit more comfortable with it.
Now, I'm again, listeners, I know you guys love to read the National Enquirer and the Star and whatnot, and you love to have all the juicy. I'm not going to give all the details of our relationship, but I will say this much because I already made mention of it on a previous show. We did run into a snag. Again, I'm not going to give the details, but we were dating for about 6 months, and then we you could say, more or less broke up for about a month, anywhere from like 3.5 to 4.5 weeks. And it was challenging being on Facebook because, you know, One day, my status said in a relationship with Tyler Collins, and her said in a relationship with Alan Roger Curry. Next thing you know, both our status said single, and I got, she said she didn't really get that many responses on her end. I got about 100 emails, and I'm only exaggerating a tad bit. I got about 100 emails like, dang, Alan, what happened? What happened? Man, your status changed. What happened? So people pay attention to that stuff. I mean, literally within. Now, see, somebody going to ask me in the chat room, that's messed up. Did you cheat, Alan? Why the man got to mess up? Huh?
No,
see?
He did not cheat.
See,
he
tell him, baby, him. I did not cheat.
No,
see,
didn't.
That's just wrong how us men are stereotyped. You know, I tell the story. My own mother, I love my late mother to death. I love her to death. But she used to make me mad because whenever I have problems with a woman, first thing she said, Alan, what you do? What's that about? Why I got to be the one messing up? Because I don't mess up with you, baby, doing.
No, you don't. But in the interest of fairness, you know, your past is a little bit provocative. So. Let's just keep it real now.
Now, baby, I got to remind you, I do have a mute button on you.
Yeah, now, you can be muting me.
Generally speaking, think of some of your friends, acquaintances, I don't know, former classmates. What's your general feeling on the relationship nowadays between? Because like I said, now it's almost like checking your Facebook is almost as routine as brushing your teeth. Have you had people, your friends, you know, any of them say go overboard with Facebook? Or on the flip side, do you have any that's like anti-Facebook, they won't dare go on there? How have you seen it affect other people's lives being on these social networking sites?
I don't have any friends that aren't on it. I mean, in my immediate circle, pretty much everybody I know is on it. And I have, you know, one friend in particular who's like a Facebook superstar.
I know which friend that is.
Yeah, Danielle's like running the show on Facebook. She's hilarious. You all both crack me up with that. But, you know, we've talked about it. And I think what it allows people the opportunity to express their thoughts and feelings. I mean, we all have them about anything and everything in a comfortable setting. I think that's why it's so easy to get addicted to it. Mm-hmm. So particularly if you're a very outgoing type of personality, I think it provides you with that stage, you know, for lack of a better word maybe, to, you know, try out your material. And what's even more interesting, though, to me is that you will find a lot of people who are receptive to that. Mm-hmm. Because you have a lot of people who put a lot of stuff out, but then you have a lot of other people who are more into reading it and following it. They prefer to be entertained and motivated and they're curious and they want to know the details. Mm. So it's really interesting that way. And the majority of the friends I have are pretty typical with it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as I said, you know, Danielle and you guys are...
Well, the listeners, in case you don't, I'm going to give you the brief version of the story, how we met on. I was familiar with this young lady like years ago, had a crush on her, you know, when I saw her being interviewed. But then to my surprise, when we were on Facebook, she wrote me a note and she said, God, you are incredibly handsome. You know,
you better tell the truth.
She said, Alan, you are just so incredibly handsome, and I listen to your radio show, and you just sound so charming. I just have to connect with you. And I said, hey, you are mode one. I like that. And no, okay. That was an exaggeration. That was a joke. And I wrote her. She blew me off about a month. And then I wrote her again. And then she said, Alan, you are very charming and stuff after she had blown me off about a month. But, yeah.
Why don't you tell them the truth? No. Let's see. I get to interrupt you. You friend requested me, and I accepted it. Mm-hmm. And then when you saw my relationship status change, you put your bid in, basically.
You're right.
But you were different than everyone else, and you were the only one who got my attention, and I responded to. And so that was pretty much all she wrote.
Yeah, you hear that? You hear that, fellas? See, I put my bid in because I've been trained in the Mode One trenches, and I know to skip over all that fluffy. Oh, I forgot to mention, I got a new ebook. I got to pump up my ebook. Got a new ebook coming out. It's due to be released on Monday. So, guys, you know, my Mode One fans out there, but anybody who knows about my 1-1 philosophy knows I don't get into that. Hey, Tyler. Hey, how's the weather? Isn't it great? And boy, I mean, the state of humanity has really been challenging, huh? And the animals, I mean, get away from that fluff talk, man. Just get to the point. I got to the point. I told her, I said, hey, I've been digging on you half my life. And I want to date you.
No, you didn't. You got to that point. But I will say, you know, I do want people to know he was definitely upfront and straightforward and interesting. And he wasn't asking me, well, let's meet for a drink and let's catch up and have coffee. And because I really wasn't trying to have coffee with nobody, especially when I knew nobody was trying to really have coffee with me. So,
ain't that the truth? Like, see, that kills me. See, my baby knows. These guys kill me inviting people for coffee. Like, you really need a companion to drink coffee with you. That's
really
some bogus stuff. Anyway, I told her I was only going to keep on here a few minutes. And so I don't want to stretch out a conversation and cause either her or myself any more lighthearted embarrassment, because I might reveal something that wasn't supposed to be revealed, and then she'll be busting my chops off air.
I will say this, though. Yeah, before I go. And you're not embarrassing me at all. And, in fact, I think I have definitely come out of my shell as a result of falling in love with you. So these type of things, and don't say it again, these type of things are a lot easier. But in relation to what the show is about, I do have to say I never even remotely considered even just back and forth conversation or interaction with someone I met on one of these networks. Never even considered it. And when you and I started talking, the furthest thing from my mind was a potential relationship. So while I think there are definitely downsides to it, I think there are some potentially wonderful possibilities to it as well. And all I know is from my one experience, one and only experience, it was worth it. So.
Mm-hmm. That was well said, baby.
Well,
see why I fell in love with this woman, listeners. And yes, Calliewood, this is Tyler Collins, the singer. Because, see, there's a Tyler Collins that's a well-known football player, but I don't roll like that. So I am dating Tyler Collins, yes, the singer. Yeah, so I'm going to let my baby go, and hey, you know, yes, I have both through Facebook and my show, I let all my listeners know that I love you madly, and you've contributed so much to my life and made me happy. I know Adrian going to be slapping me around later, because Adrian, she just gets sick over all this lovey-dovey stuff. She be writing me notes like, Alan,
yes,
goodness gracious, I'm getting nauseous all day. I love you too. But see, wait till you hear my next couple, because they're a lovey-dovey couple. And right after this next brief intermission, I'm going to go into my second hour of the show, and I'm going to let my next couple tell their most interesting story, and I'm going to ask them some questions. So don't go anywhere. I will be right back. And Tyler Collins, I love you madly.
I love you too.
In this technology age, while we're on the information highway, we'll post about getting a better job, We'll tweet to say that we love what we just ate. But when's the last time you MySpace someone and tell them you've been molested? Join us on Left Blank for the Great American Speak Out to share your story about child molestation, incest, and or child abuse. Airing Monday, April 26th at 11 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/leftblank. To email your story to us anonymously, send it to jollialiali@jollialiali.com.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay. There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
So listeners know there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. We now return to my discussion about the connection between social networking sites and your love life, sex life, and social life on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to tonight's episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Now, I got to tell you, I got to do a little bragging here. On Twitter, you'll notice a lot of celebrities, they'll have these accounts that say verified. That means it's not a fake celebrity, it's really them. And on Facebook, I've seen that even. I don't know if that's real or not, verified or certifiable. Well, speaking of words certifiable, my show is Blog Talk Radio, I guess, has this new thing where they've sent out notes to certain shows telling you you are a top 200 show. Now, you might say, 200? Shoot, that ain't all that significant. What about top 10, top 20? Well, 200 is cool because there's about 20,000 shows on Blog Talk Radio Network. There's roughly about 20,000 shows. So that means 1% of 20,000 would be 200. So that means, 200. Yeah. So that means I'm in the top 1% of all shows on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and I feel happy about that. I don't know where my specific ranking. I don't know if they even do that with the shows. They just tell you that you're in the. That means your listenership is consistently ranked in the top 200 of all the shows on Blog Talk Radio Network. But anyway, what we're talking about tonight, listeners, is social networking sites, and specifically how they affect your love life, your social life, and even your sex life. Because before social networking sites, the only way people really connected over the internet was through online matchmaking services such as Match.com, eHarmony, Yahoo Personals, and a host of other online matchmaking services. Usually, like I know among African Americans, Black People Meet is a popular site. By the way, I got to plug myself. I am a dating and relationship expert for BlackPeopleMeet.com magazine. So you'll probably run across my name if you go in there. You can submit questions that you want answered, and I might be one of the experts who answers your question. So that's BlackPeopleMeet.com magazine. I've already answered a few questions on that site. But, so that was the main way people connected via the internet. But now social networking services have kind of taken over, and I like Facebook as a way of connecting because – you have character references. Matter of fact, I was just reading an article, and it talked about online matchmaking versus social networking, and the thing it said, the advantage is, like Facebook, you can't perpetrate on Facebook. Like, I can't get on Facebook and say, hey, I'm a multimillionaire, and I drive a convertible Mercedes. Somebody's going to call me out. They're going to be like, Alan, quit lying. You ain't, man, you ain't making no $1 million. And even with pictures, if you try to perpetrate with a 10-year-old picture, people are going to be like, man, get you a recent picture. But see, on those online matchmaking services, they give you room to perpetrate. I've seen people perpetrate big time. So social networking sites have become very popular, not just to reconnect with friends, coworkers, classmates, but as a way of connecting with members of the opposite sex. And right now, I'm about to introduce a couple, and I'm going to give particularly the husband an introduction because his theme, when all else fails, love prevails. This is what my guest is all about. This prolific poet and accomplished artist creates poetry works that touch a person's heart and soul in day-to-day life. My guest's intention is to inspire people to imagine, hope, dream, believe. My guest, who has been called by many the world's greatest poet, is famous for his acrostic poetry, literally pulling a personalized poem out of the air in less than a minute. Why is this so unique? He will write your name and show you how the beginning of each line in the poem spells the letters of the name downward. That's so cool. Give him the title of the poem you like, and he will create it out of thin air. Tonight's guest has won awards for his songwriting, proving further his uncanny ability with expressing in rhyme what most can't even say in prose form. His songs have earned him 60 not 20, not 30, not 40, 60 gold and multi-platinum awards, as well as several ASCAP awards. ASCAP is the union for all songwriters. ASCAP awards. The Spinners recorded his first song in 1981. This was Sin, A Little Love. Since then, his songs have been recorded on over 200, not 50, not 100, 200 albums and have sold in excess of 60 million copies. He has authored 34 books based on Baby Looney Tunes characters such as Baby Tweety, Baby Sylvester, Baby Bugs, Warner Brothers Worldwide Publishing, Lando and Penguin Books published these. His music publishing encompasses artists such as Earth, Wind & Fire, Robert Palmer, The Temptations, Jeffrey Osborne, and many, many more. Hey, listeners, give it up on behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and the Blog Talk Radio Network. Give it up for Tony Haynes and his wife, Lorraine. Glad to have you on my show, Mr. and Mrs. Haynes.
Thank you.
Hi, Alan.
Happy to
thank you so much.
Yes, man, Tony, you are one accomplished fellow, and that's how I first became familiar with you, because one of my Facebook friends was pubbing you up on your poetry skills, and then later on these really well written love notes to your now wife. Hey, tell my listeners here, I want you kind of to go in chronological order. I want to say the first connection was made last October. Is that true?
Yeah, October 3rd, I was on Facebook, and I saw her picture. She was a friend of my friend David Bryant, and I saw her pictures, these pictures called Aha Moments. And when I was looking at it, I basically got an aha moment, and I was like, whoa, she's hot. And I looked at her pictures, and I saw that she had, like, four kids, and she lived in Canada. And I was like, Canada? Kind of ignored that at the time, but it was like she was gorgeous. And I friended her, and she accepted it, and I began to just kind of didn't say much to her initially. It was more looking at the pictures because, you know, I have two girls. She has two girls and two boys. Mm-hmm. I'm divorced and she's divorced. And so it's just kind of like what I was missing in my life kind of a thing. And I really just got into reading her poetry and her writing. And I fell in love with the way she writes. And I was like, dang, she could write. And it started with me really digging her.
Mhm. Okay. And then what happened next? And Lorraine, you can jump in at any time.
Yeah, I want her to jump in now. I'm going to let her jump in because she's very very creative when she breaks it down. And without further ado, I'm going to bring in my woman. Come on, wife.
Thank you, Tony. Hi, Alan.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. And shout out to Tyler for us. We love her. What happened was Tony started making comments on some of my photos and some of my articles and poetry that I was doing, and I would comment back on his. And I noticed a quality about him coming from a very spiritual side and found that interesting, but I figured he's in California. He seemed like he had maybe quite the player kind of mode one life.
Oh. I was provocative.
Yeah. I was really thinking, like, I don't really know that this is the kind of guy, but I really like his spiritual poetry, you know. But he's far away, and, you know, I'm in Canada, so didn't think too much of it. Didn't take anything too seriously. And then one day I wrote a poem, an acrostic poem for him, with his name Tony Haynes. And basically the poem was just reaching out saying, I see what you're doing. You're trying to enlighten people, to open up their minds and, you know, think about where they are in life and where they want to go. So So I thought for somebody who's really trying to help others and always reaching out, I wanted to give something back in a small way.
Melted me like an M&M in the sun.
So that kind of got his attention, although it wasn't really a flirt on my part. I just wanted to acknowledge that I really appreciate, you know, what you're doing as a human being for other people. And what happened was, shortly after that, a good friend of mine who is a Facebook friend, who I've never met in person, asked me a personal question about what would the perfect man look like to me. And I said, let me get back to you. I'm going to write an article on that. So within a day or two, I wrote an article, and Tony saw that and made a comment back after reading it that, well, something to do with you've described me in a nutshell. And, you know, just off the top of my head, without really thinking about what I was saying, I wrote, well, then I guess, Tony, you are the perfect man. Because in essence, I thought, well, if this man's fitting all these characteristics in here, then I guess he is the perfect man.
And she must be the perfect woman for me. Go, keep going, baby.
So I still didn't think anything of it at that point. It really wasn't, it wasn't a hard flirt.
No aha moment at that time.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I was just being mode one as far as just being straight up and straightforward with, you know, well, I guess.
Well, Lorraine, I'm going to have to make you pause there because my listeners know. When somebody on my show mentions Mo 1, I got to play my chant.
Alan Roger Curry.
From up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
I just had to do it, Lorraine. I'm sorry. But
very
I appreciate
nice.
You plugging Mo 1 into this story, okay?
Love that, love that.
Product placement, baby.
So, yeah, after that, I guess that really caught Tony's attention, and I didn't realize that he'd sort of been watching me from a distance, and we did have as he mentioned, David Bryant, a common friend, which made it a little easier because we didn't just not know each other out of thin air. I did know that David and he had written songs years ago, so there was a personal connection to both Tony and myself through David Bryant. So what happened was after that email, when he really kind of saw that as, wow, I mean, maybe she really is thinking I am the perfect guy, he sent me a short email saying he'd like to sometime meet with me for coffee.
There's that coffee.
Yeah.
I hope you didn't take offense to when we were teasing the coffee bag. Go ahead.
Coffee, though. That's a mode one coffee for sure. And so when he sent me that email, I sent him back one, quite a long, lengthy one that talked about the soul. And because I knew he was a word person and would find words within words, I came up with different words that were in the word soul. And one of them was O period, L period, which is ol, and stands for the left eye in Latin. And there was a whole story behind that. And I sent that off to him and hoped that he took that the right way, that I just found it fascinating that in the word soul had this sort of meaning about the left eye.
And that was December 14th.
Yeah, that was December sort of
December 14th of last year, okay.
Yeah, the first email exchange we had. And so I was so wrapped up in just connecting with him sort of more on a spiritual level and talking a little bit about metaphysics and I didn't think to leave my phone number and that he had asked for in his previous email. So it wasn't until the following day, December 15th, that I continued where I left off and then gave him my phone number. And he called within minutes and within half an hour had proposed to me. And without question, I without even thinking, I said, absolutely.
Wow. Well, I mean, see, you say that so matter-of-factly, but I'm sure that 99% of my listeners are blown. So you're telling me, let me clarify this now, in your very first phone conversation, Tony, you proposed.
First phone conversation within the first 30 minutes on December 15th, proposed. She said absolutely.
Wow.
2 weeks
later. Man, that's got to be like, y'all should like be in a Guinness Book of World Records or something.
Put
I mean, I'm serious. That's amazing. So wait, you're telling me before you even met her in person, you proposed?
I proposed in the first 30 minutes of the conversation.
Wow. That's the part of the story that when I first heard, I ain't gonna lie, I was blown away by that. I mean, now let's be honest. I want you to be real with me. Did either one of you all have at least one or two family members or one or two close friends that say, hey, what are you doing? That's kind of crazy.
We didn't tell anybody.
Brother, I had an intervention. They sat me down, all my friends sat me down and thought I was out of my mind.
I'm sure.
But on December 27th, I jumped on the airplane to Niagara Falls because my passport wasn't renewed. So she met me in Niagara Falls on December 27th, and we hooked up. December 30th, we was married.
Wow.
And I'm going to skip a bunch of the story. I'll go back to it in a few minutes. But April 1st, April Fool's Day, I was in Canada, moved. I'm in bed talking to y'all with my woman like I'm Prince in the Purple Rain right now. Married, happy, sitting up with her, toes out, looking in the mirror, going, yeah, baby. So it's like, you know, and in between that, there's a lot of stuff happened in between. But, I mean, I asked, she said absolutely. 15 days later, married. And that's when the shit hit the fan.
And I have to say, too, that in the first email exchanges we had on December 14th, Tony had written some stuff, and I can't remember offhand what it was, but it was something that moved me so much that I just ended up crying, and I was sitting at my office desk, and I just put my head down and cried. And no man had ever written anything or ever moved me like that. And the next day was when he called, because I had given him my phone number the next day on the 15th, and that's when he asked me to marry him, and I said absolutely. So I had already had a moment where I just felt so moved, and I just literally followed my heart. I didn't think about it. I didn't try to use logic and analyze it. And I personally didn't tell anybody until a few days before I was going down to New York. I told two very close friends, one male, one female, that I was going to get married. I didn't even tell my family, my mother. I didn't want anyone to intervene with me following my heart or change the energy. I really, truly felt a calling to just follow my heart.
And the only thing I was waiting for is to hear a voice. I've seen her pictures. I've vibed on the energy of the pictures. I've read every article she ever put up on Facebook. I just wanted to hear a voice. The voice would tell me if she was the one. And when I heard her voice, that was it. You know, she had me at hello.
Man, you and I are very similar in that area, if not in other areas, because my brother and my close friends tease me. Because I'm almost like a voice freak.
It's about the voice, man.
I can meet a woman and almost, she could be, you know, good looking, intelligent, all that. But if her voice ain't right, sad to say, it's hard for me to really make a connection if the voice is not right.
Exactly. And the opposite. She could be not the most beautiful woman in the world, but the voice, it will just blow you away.
True.
And Tony, just for the record, is definitely mode one.
Okay. Definitely. Well, I mean, when you propose in the first 30 minutes, he ain't going to never get no mode two, mode three criticisms from me. That's within the context of the relationship, that's about as mode one as it gets. I don't know any more mode one you can be than proposing in the first 30 minutes of the first conversation.
That's true.
Wow. That is. Now, okay, but I got to ask this. Now, I know I can tell by the fact that you went ahead and got married that it tells me that you two have no physical related superficiality at all. But let's say, Tony, you had met Lorraine and she was missing three teeth, and Lorraine, you had met you know, Tony, and you saw that, you know, I don't know, he had a little small ponytail down the back of his head or something, would that have, like, messed with you? Would you have been like, oh, man, she just messed it up, or he messed it up?
Let me clarify something. When I went to her page every day from between October all the way to when I met her in person, looked at every picture, looked at everything, analyzed it. You know, brother got one eye, so the one eye he got is microscopic. I went through it, you know. I said, okay. I went to everything, right? And I said, okay. But when I saw her and she walked over to me with that black jacket on, with the fluffy stuff on and the jeans, brother, I didn't even say hello. I just grabbed her face and I kissed her. And I'm not supposed to say this part, but I'm going to say it. It was like the physical attraction was strong. It was strong. And we did what we had to do.
I like the way you put that. We did what we had to do.
And even today, you know, we had a little disagreement. And she looks at me and she says, "You lucky you so cute." And I started laughing. And I was like, "Baby, I was thinking the same thing about you. Lucky you so cute." Because, and you know, she feels like she needs to lose a couple of pounds here and there. I feel like I need to gain a couple of pounds here and there. But when I look at those eyes, man, and they just freaking melt me, man. Let me look. Hold on a second. I'm going to look at her eyes right now. She got me a kiss and everything. It's like, brother, you have to understand, I spent 30 years in L.A. building record business, music publishing, greeting cards, everything. I'm Mr. L.A., and for me to shut everything down, put it in storage, and then lug up everything and move to Canada, that's even the other deep part, man, to where I just left, man, left everything, the 30 years I built for one person in the whole world, 3,000 miles away, walked away from everything. Even my father, who's a pastor, he's like, "Son, and you said to me, you're happy." He had to just let me go and say, "I love you, son, but you said you were happy." And so a lot of people didn't let me go, but I had to go, man. One person can change your whole life and move you to where, you know what? Fuck, man, I may not be alive tomorrow, next day. I'm going to jump on this today. I'm going to roll up out of L.A. today. I'm going to give my car to my daughter. I'm going to give this to that person. I'm gone. So I followed love. And then the word follow, you find the word flow, fool, wolf, low. And so, you know, I wasn't selling wolf tickets. And so I rolled with the flow, and I wasn't going to be no fool. So I followed to go with her. And every day I say, you know what? And people were mad. People did all kind of stuff. I'll let her say that part. But no matter what she says, I said, hey, I love you. You got to understand, I dropped everything, everybody, for you. I'll start all over again in Canada. And what you won't do, you do for love. You try everything, but you don't give up. You know the rest of the words. Take it, baby.
Yeah, well, I think what was hardest for me was the cultural shock of Tony coming from California and the whole Hollywood kind of lifestyle. I'm not familiar with that. You know, I'm just a regular girl from Canada.
And I'm Tony Hayes.
Yeah, and I'd stick my finger down my throat several times and go, "Oh my God, you're so just Tony Haynes, the person. I mean, what is up with these people?" So there's a bit of culture shock there, a bit of envy from some people, a lot of there was a lot of drama on Facebook that people don't really know about behind the scenes. And
well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I don't want you to talk about anything that would make you feel uncomfortable, but I was going to ask you. You know, anytime you got something good going, you're going to attract haters and consequently drama. Because I know Tyler and I have to one degree or another. So what has been some of the, other than all the positives of the fairy tale romance you guys got, what have been some of the challenges and the drama and the haters that have come along?
Well, there are definitely many positives, and I do feel that they certainly outweigh any negatives. Part of having a Facebook relationship is it is public, and I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that because I'm very outgoing and extroverted like Tony. We really have that in common. Although I have a very private side, I can be very public as well, and it's not uncomfortable for me. But the culture shock of just a different lifestyle, and I found that a lot of people that already knew him became very possessive, and I don't think really appreciated the fact that he now had a wife. Some people would just not acknowledge me or plain out, you know, make comments or Facebook displays, you know, almost as if he didn't even have a significant other, let alone a wife and partner.
Which is why even on my personal page, I keep a picture of her and me together so people can go, oh, my man's married.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were some behind-the-scenes incidences, and, you know, I've had some not-so-friendly emails from some women from Tony's past, you know, some being people that had dated him, some that hadn't but felt as a fan that, you know, he belongs to them. And I'm really not down with the whole fan thing. I mean, for me, Tony is first and foremost just a man, a gentleman, a spirit, a human being. You know, he has quite a lot of credentials in his past, but...
Understatement.
Yeah, and that was part of the reason why I was thinking, I don't know, something about his pictures intrigued me, and I was looking at his pictures too, but I just thought, nah, he seems too Playboy Hollywood. I'm not down with that. I don't need some player Mac Daddy, you know. I'm thinking, I don't need that in my life. I'm looking for a soulmate. But what attracted me was his poetry and his writing and the message and what he was trying to do with enlightening people to think about what it is they're putting out into the world and where their consciousness is at. And how to go forward. So that's what really initially attracted me.
I was a lonely man, a man with no purpose, no direction. You become my purpose.
So, yeah, I mean, the drama is not really the welcome part, but it's a part of the package. It's something that Tony and I talk about behind the scenes, and we're very...
Every day.
Yeah, we're very... I'm very much on communication and... You know, having a connection and keeping everything out in the open on the table and knowing who's who and what's what. And, you know, if women think that, you know, any private emails or text messages coming in that they're not discussed with me, well, then they'd be mistaken. So, you know, no matter what they think might get passed in private, because I think that's where people think they have one-upmanship on somebody new on the scene, you know, Tony and I talk about everything.
Well, Tony, you're upfront and straightforward.
Well, can I interject something real quick?
Of course.
I want to interject. Now, the other reason why I got wanted to get married really fast, Alan,
mm-hmm.
and this is what I talked her into after she said absolutely. Uh-oh. You know, this is the hard part of the thing. I said, let's work backwards, because
mm-hmm.
I knew if I went to Niagara Falls, maybe got busy in Niagara Falls and all that, and went back home, I would never have seen her again, because I would have said, oh, you're too far. Oh, no, this is too far. So I said, look, if we get married and go ahead and go through with it, let's go to Niagara Falls. You can leave. If it ain't happening, I can leave. But if we still feel like it's happening, let's do it. So I brought a ring, and we got married to work backwards, because I knew I had to go back home and shut stuff down, figure out what we were going to do after that. But I knew if I was married, I'd figure out a way to get to her, to make it work, and to deal with it, and to stay married. So getting married was working backwards so that we'd have to make it work. We couldn't just go, oh, forget it, man. This is too hard. Oh, forget it. Then I'd have to commit. She'd have to commit, and there'd be no way out. So that's why we went and got married. And then for 1 week I saw her, and for
5.5 weeks, I didn't see her because I was back in L.A. figuring out what to do and waiting on my passport. Then I got my passport, and then I spent a month with her, and then I came back to L.A. for 3.5 weeks not seeing her to shut everything down so I could just start over in Canada. But by getting married and having the distance, we have to make it work. There's no excuses. There's no backing out of it. We got to make it work. We're married now. We did it. And so, and I always say to her, we tell other people, don't do what we did, because you really got to have heart. You got to have soul. You got to have commitment, because once you get married, then everything falls apart. Everything goes crazy. And you've really got to love the person if you're away for 5 weeks or away for 2 months. And you've got no excuse. You can easily walk away if you're not married. If we didn't get married, we wouldn't be together. We would just go, oh, this is too hard. And so that's why I talked her into, well, she said absolutely, but then I gave her an out. But then I had to explain, let's work backwards. And then I said, it's going to be a little bumpy, and I let her say, come in on this part. And I didn't tell her what the bumps were. I didn't know what they would be, but I knew they were coming.
Yeah.
And we had some bumps today. But go ahead. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The bumps, you know, just being just a, you know, girl from Canada, it's a whole different lifestyle in California. And so with that comes a somewhat toxic kind of lifestyle, and everything that goes with that. And just Tony's past is different from my past. Although we both dated people, he just has more of a history than I do. And I think we use that word provocative.
I like the word provocative. You know, I was multi-provocative.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some women I think that just didn't want to let go, maybe. Maybe that's a good word. So, you know, that can kind of play out, and they can try to sort of infiltrate into your space. So the good point that Tony brought up is by remembering that we're working backwards, by having made that commitment. And when I went down in Niagara and met him, I mean, it's just something I felt in my heart. It was just a calling that I thought, this is the right thing for me. I didn't question it logically. I definitely believe in leading with your heart, and you never go wrong. So by setting it up like that, when all these things came along and happened, these little bumps, because I'm such a spiritual person, and because when I make a commitment and I've committed with my heart, I'm not going to back down, and I'm not going to be a wuss and, you know, throw in the towel and give up. So it forced me to be in the position to go, wow, I'm really frustrated with this, you know, some of this nonsense that goes on and this whole Hollywood kind of baggage. But it just forced me to say, but you know what, I married this man for a reason. He's in my heart and soul, and whatever it takes to get through, you know, we'll talk about it, we'll work it out. And at the end of the day, I mean, we're always on the same page, and we've decided that, you know, we're not going to let anybody else come into our space and, you know, interject their energy in between us, because there are people that try to do that.
Yeah, but it sure makes the nights interesting. I'm telling you that. I'm actually, tonight's going to be good, ain't it, baby?
Hey, well, you know, right now I'm going to take another quick intermission break, and when I get back, I want you guys to talk some more about your relationship, but I'm also bring back in my girlfriend Tyler and ask her what her thoughts are about listening to your story, and then we'll take the conversation from there. So listeners, don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
In this technology age, while we're on the information highway, we'll post about getting a better job. We'll tweet to say that we love what we just ate. But when's the last time you MySpace someone to tell them you've been molested? Join us on Left Blank for the Great American Speak Out to share your story about child molestation, incest, and or child abuse. Airing Monday, April 26th at 11 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com.
another Sound Off Now show starts now.
Yo, what's up? This is man, Sound Off Now. What's good, people? Monday morning, first of the year. How's everybody doing? Yo, what's up? This is man, Sound Off Now. What's up? This is man, Sound Off Now. How's everybody doing? Welcome to a Tantalizing Tuesday on the Sound Off Now show. Hello, how's everybody doing tonight? This is your host, Sound Off Now show, special edition, Monday night special, Crisis in Haiti.
Hey, this is your man, Sound Off Now. No, really, it's me this time. I want to take this quick opportunity to invite everyone out to my return to internet radio and my home, of course, Blog Talk Radio, February 16th, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Sound Off Now show, The Rebirth. Same real life, real talk, real issues show format. Just a different attitude and mental concept of bringing you quality shows you deserve. Also, we will still be hitting you with that popular mesh of hot show topics and forums with that blend of music on the side, including hot, hot, hot Club SON Platinum on Fridays, 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. So join me February 16th, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the rebirth of the Sound Off Now show to the internet airwaves and Blog Talk Radio. I'll see you there.
Looked at myself as a quote-unquote bad boy, at least not in all regards. I mean, I ain't never robbed no bank, and I ain't never skipped 2 weeks of school. So in terms of just various facets of my behavior, I wouldn't necessarily call myself this. But yeah, when it comes to sex, I've definitely been that guy.
Because okay.
I will push a woman's boundaries.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think most women are waiting for a man to do that. Most women want a man to do that. Most women that are coming up in the day and age where a woman is supposed to be the good girl has this idea that a man is going to bring that out of her, and she's hoping that he will. Unfortunately, a lot of men, I won't say a lot of men, but some men have no idea what they're doing. And so they're not able to get that out of her. And then everybody's frustrated. She's frustrated. He's frustrated. Nobody knows why it's not working. But women are like, go ahead, like blindfold her and just take her wherever you want to take her. She's waiting for a man to command that. So she can't, you know, in some cases be that free to say, okay, blindfold me and take me wherever you want to take me. And it's because in some way she's afraid of where you might take her. You know, depending on what the relationship is like with him and how much she trusts him. And in other cases, she just doesn't know how to say that herself.
No woman wants a man that can't lay it down in the bedroom. Period. And, you know, women, we go through this, oh, I want to be held and I want to cuddle and I want to talk. Yeah, we want to do all of that. But when it comes down to it, we want to be climbing off the ceiling just like everybody else does.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my discussion about the connection between social networking sites and your love life, sex life, and social life on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the last roughly, got about
12 minutes left in the show in tonight's episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What we've been discussing is the connection between social networking sites such as Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, and how they either will positively affect and enhance your dating life or how they might make your dating life more challenging and more problematic. And I'm speaking with a wonderful couple right now, Tony and Lorraine Haynes, who have just an amazing story of true love that happened at a very accelerated pace. And I'm also going to welcome back the love of my life, Miss Tyler Collins. Now, Tyler, what did you think about a lot of the interesting parts of Tony and Lorraine's relationship?
Oh, I love that story. There were so many things that I wanted to jump in and comment on and agree with and, you know, say, oh, us too. One of the things I really identified with was their desire not to tell anyone, because I think you and I had to learn the hard way that when you allow people in, they definitely have the potential to raise doubt and
right.
And you know, create unnecessary drama and thoughts. So you know, I think hindsight is always 20/20, and looking back, you have to be very careful what you're sharing with people, because people don't want to. Some people do not want to believe that love and you know, true love and all of that can exist and be real, especially in a modern day setting such as Facebook or, you know, some of the networks. So that definitely resonated with me. But can I just interject something?
Go ahead, baby.
Okay, I have to say this one right now, and it may be because I've had a little bit of red wine. But she, Lorraine, you were commenting. You commented more than a couple times on, you know, the women who were saying things and disrespecting you. And let me just say, to this point, fortunately, we haven't encountered any of that. I haven't had anybody, you know, challenge this or come at me incorrectly. But I must say, you know, don't let the voice fool you. If you come at me or my man in the wrong way, you will get checked immediately. So just,
I love it when her hard gangster side comes out.
Just,
she's a true
gangster. That's right. I just keep it on the DL. Just had to put that out there. And but I love how you know, how you expressed how you handle it. You're so classy, and you're a true lady, because a real woman knows when her man loves her and he's all about her. And, you know, you really, the other energy coming at you doesn't really affect you. So, yeah, I like that part. And I love the part. I mean, I love their whole story. I think it's beautiful. And I think it's inspiring. The other part that I'm thinking of, though, off the top of my head, was what she was saying. I related to this, how initially you weren't even thinking about a real relationship, let alone with somebody who, and I guess, Tony, you like my word, provocative. You were not really trying to check for somebody who had a provocative past, and I really feel you on that. Because
right.
I felt the same way. As soon as we started, as soon as I exchanged a couple of emails, you know, with Alan, I did my due diligence. I looked him up. And I was thinking, oh, my goodness, what in the world? So I was thinking, well, this is fine. And, you know, he's far away, so nothing's going to happen. You know, we're not going to run into each other or really meet. It was the furthest thing from my mind, but I will say this, though, because I also loved how you all talked about when you knew the other person had you. One of the times, really the time I knew was, and Alan, I hope this doesn't make you uncomfortable, but when you, I was listening to one of your shows, and you were talking about the young man in Chicago who was beaten to death.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you cried openly on your show. That's when you had me. Because I realized at that moment, this is a man who has passion and a heart far beyond what is obvious. And there's a concern there and a genuine love for his people. And that, I was yours then. I don't know if I told you that, but that got me. And I was all in at that point.
I appreciate that, baby. Yeah, man, it's funny, Tony and Lorraine. I've done more crying with this woman than all any woman I've ever dated combined, and that's the effect she had on. Now I'm gonna use this segue. Somebody in the chat room, my cousin, matter of fact, asked me, Tyler, when is some of your new music gonna be introduced to the public? So I'm just pass the baton over to Tony right now.
Oh, I have the baton?
Yes, indeed.
Tyler, Emergency is a smash. Jamone played that. That's a smash. So you know we working on putting this thing through Universal. We want to do this album. It's the first five songs we heard are just awesome.
Thank you.
And you sound really, really good. You writing good stuff, and it's an amazing record so far. So we want to work it out with Damone and figure out how to move it forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, people who are listening are probably thinking, you know, well, how does Tony know? What's the connection there? So, you know, just so that you all know, Tony has been very instrumental in moving my music and the project forward and, you know, helping me get it out there. So there's more history there than just this the Facebook connection and the online dating. And but to kind of wrap the question up in answer to the question, you know, I'm hoping and really trying to get it all done and get it out by the summer. And we have some real kind of creative, interesting, sexy ideas to get it out to you all. So in addition to, you know, talking about things on Alan's show and obviously through his page, I'm going to have a website coming out soon, so you all will know. I'm going to definitely keep everybody posted as to exactly what's happening, but look forward to come out hopefully sometime this summer.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Well, you know, I look forward to it. My listeners, you look forward to that too, don't you? Yes, you do. wind it down to about the last 3 or 4 minutes of the show. What? Give me some final comments, Tony and or Lorraine, about your relationship and particularly about how Facebook affected it. What are some of your final thoughts?
I'm thankful for Facebook and, you know, having a mutual friend that if it wasn't for our mutual friend, you know, we wouldn't have found each other, and we ended up getting married on his birthday. And I've always been a believer in following my heart, and I wouldn't change anything for that. You know, even all the drama that's come along with it, you know, here and there, I wouldn't change my mind. And I've always believed love conquers all, and no matter what we come across, we just feel comfortable and confident and secure with each other that at the end of the day, we're on the same page. We're together, and we're going to stick with following our heart, and we're not going to change.
Amen. A woman. And,
Tyler, don't. I have to say this real quick, too. I just have to say, for everybody listening, Lorraine, I just love the things that you write. I think you are just the epitome of what a woman is. And you have inspired me, and I love reading your articles and your messages, and I wanted to put that out there for people who are listening because, you know, I just really appreciate it. So I just want to say that real quick.
My wife is bad, you know, and that's why I read her stuff, and I was like, she hot, but she can write. I'm in love. It's like our first thing in the morning, we get up and go to the coffee shop, Tim Hortons, out here in Canada, every morning. We start off, she's sitting down writing, I'm sitting down writing, and it's like I married me, cuter version.
Yeah.
I'm sure that. Well,
I have to.
But, hey, folks, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I actually wish it was longer. And, again.
That's okay. Dinner for four. Let me know when you're going to be in California. We'll have to fly back, but we got to hook up, the four of us.
Oh, I'm
sure.
I was great announcer here, but I don't know if I want everybody, all my listenership, knowing my travel plans. But I definitely let you know off air, yeah, because this is going to be soon. But, yeah, we definitely going to all have to hook up. Yeah, that would be real, real cool.
You know, play your woman the Brenda Russell song. Just get her while you can. You know, take a caravan with an Arab man. You know, you go get her, brother.
That's right. I mean, can't sing. Tyler, I love your music. I've heard the songs. I'm a big R&B fan. And
thank you.
I love the feel of your music. Oh, my goodness. I personally, it's amazing. You can sing, girl. You can sing.
All this love fest going on. Tony, I'm sorry. I have to do this. I'm going to call out your wife because I was just joking out earlier about how whenever something go wrong between a couple, they always look at a man. My own mother used to say, what you do? And, see, that's what Lorraine did. When me and Tyler had our little bump in the road, she's like, what you do, Alan? I love Tyler. You better not do nothing wrong. I'll come over there and beat you up.
Okay. I will. It was me. I was tripping. Okay. You feel better?
Oh, but hey, again, I've enjoyed this interview, and the best of luck and continued happiness to you both.
Yes.
Thank you. Tyler, you know, I love you. I love you madly. And see, all my friends know I've never done this public thing. See, maybe Facebook contributes to me being all lovey-dovey in public, much to, again, Adrian's disappointment. Yes. But listeners, join me next week. I don't know who my guest will be, what my topic will be, but you know me. I'll let you know on Facebook. I always come up with some interesting topic. Until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. Madison Media, man, I'm going to get you, man, because you've been talking more smack. Let me give my Madison Media promo before I end the show. But everybody have a great one.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mo One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.